Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to a pre-recorded interview from the archives of Prophecy Keepers Radio. You have been led by the Spirit to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a cooperative service of the White Roots of Peace Council. Whether it be the modern Asaga of Peru, the current Kahunas of Hawaii, today's medicine people of the Americas, the Holy Ones of Africa, shamans of the East, North, West, and South, or the present day Atawahis of the Cherokee, we bring you the traditional elders and teachers of our modern times and their confidants from the Americas, the steppes of Asia, the Holy Land, the islands of the sea, Africa, and Australasia. We have not been conquered, and we defy the established order. This is Will Bluewater, the host of Prophecy Keepers Radio, speaking on behalf of the White Roots of Peace Council.
It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow?
Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius. This station's only means of support is through donations and purchases of the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library, which includes lifetime online access to a printable 1,000-page intelligence briefing and a worldwide indigenous prophecy encyclopedia. Now, folks, there's nothing else like this collection on the planet. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files and 222 folders. It includes the Prophecy Keeper's Prepper's Self-Reliance files and all of our previous over 100 Prophecy Keepers interviews. So head on over to prophecykeepers.com right now and have a free sneak peek today of two-thirds of the Prophecy Keepers trilogy and a peek of the dashboard of the Prophecy Keepers Wisdom Treasury Vault. Osio Ginalii Tahiju Toigu, which means, hello cousins, I'm fine, how are you? This is your old buddy Blue Otter coming to you from the Cumberland Plateau in east central Tennessee, the ancient home of the Aniuntikwalaski, the people of the lightning and thunder, or the military protectors of the old Cherokee Nation.
A lot of people say that he is the successor in interest to Albert Einstein, and he went on Fox TV not too long ago. And you can see the clip at the front page of prophecykeepers.com. It'll open up automatically. But he basically said, hey, you know, we scientists made a huge error in mathematics to the 20th... I can't remember what words he used, but he says, we made a big mistake in the math. And he said sometime around 2012 there could be a repeat of the 1859 Carrington event, which was a disturbance on the sun that completely burned out the telegraph system all over this country and Europe, caused fires, and he said this thing could take down the grid. If it takes down the grid, you know, it might be 10 years, it might be never before we get the grid back up, because we're not even manufacturing electrical transformers in this country.
That's because I'm hoping we end up with free energy, but that's okay.
Yeah, well, that'd be nice. But if you saw the TV series Jericho, you could see what kind of trouble we'd be gargling on that one.
Absolutely.
And, but, you know, years ago, Gordon Michael Scallion and others, you know, in their visions, they saw that we would end up being taken back to a time where we lived in small agricultural communities, and it wouldn't be much use for money. And this is kind of what Edgar Cayce said would happen. And he said that the light of the world would come out of Russia. He says not that form of capitalism is being practiced, but and you know, being a staunch constitutional Tea Party conservative doesn't mean that I can't cross the gap and agree with Michael Moore when he says that co-ops are, you know, if you saw his show Capitalism, a Love Story, you realize a lot of some of those businesses up in Detroit are being bought up by the employees, and they're breathing life back into them. And this was the system that the Japanese used after World War II that was taught to them by an American, I forget his name, but my dad knew him. And they used that successfully to surpass us and eclipse us very quickly. And it's just the cooperative attitude of working together. The Cherokee call it garugi. It's a the Jews just call it community. But that's, I believe that's where we're headed.
So, Will, how do we, going into next year, I know I've noticed changes for probably 10, 11 years just with intensity of sunlight, with obvious weather stuff. I used to do stuff with the National Weather Service, so I had a lot of access. I had access to records. And, you know, I was visually, when I had time, being able to go through things, and I could see the wrapping up. And then all of a sudden the 2012 thing came into everybody's consciousness, and then I started trying to put two and two together, and unfortunately it was coming up to four, and I didn't want to really acknowledge that. And how are we, and what are we supposed to look at as far as the ancient prophecies read out with the approach of, yeah, with the approach of 2012?
It's pretty simple. One of my guests I interviewed a couple of times was a Chumash elder from the Bay Area, California. Her name was Chokosh Alho'o, and spelled C-H-O-Q-O-S-H. You can listen to her interview. But she, when she was a hippie back in the 70s, you know, the one of the Hopi prophecies was that the grandchildren of the yellow hair would someday come to them for guidance and wisdom. And speaking of Custer being the yellow hair, and this happened in the late 60s and early 70s, they all gathered around, well, Zilla Bringerhoff introduced me to two people, Robert Three Eagles and Rolling Thunder. John Rolling Thunder Pope was probably the most famous medicine man of the 20th century, and he was a paint clan Chickamauga Cherokee. And but he built a little community out in Carlin, Nevada, and known as I'm getting old, I can't remember. But anyway, he the hippies gathered out there at this place, and for quite a few years they studied there. And Rolling Thunder's gone now, but his son has established a similar community known as Nanesh Shante, out in near Eugene, Oregon. And you can read about that at Nanesh, N-A-N-I-S-H .com or .org. But it got to the point where those hippies were actually becoming racist against their own people. So he just said, hey, you know, you're totally missing the point. Go home. But, you know, you got people like Peter Coyote and Bob Dylan and the Grateful Dead that were all fans of Rolling Thunder. But Rolling Thunder are fans of we call him RT. But RT was a very close friend of Mad Bear Anderson. And they Mad Bear was a medicine man at Alcatraz during the sit-in, and they were kind of partners in crime, so to speak. But going back to Chokosh Alho'o, she was called back at some point, I believe in the 90s. You can listen to the interview and you can get a better idea. But she had her own children at the time, and she was asked to go back to Hopi because they had a message for her. And she's back for a couple of days, and I think she was at Hope Villa until somebody told her, hey, you know, you're in the wrong place, go on over to Oribe. And she drove over there in her station wagon, she said, just as the sun was coming up and her kids were sleeping in the back, she opened up the door and to relieve herself, and here comes a bunch of elders shuffling around the corner, and they, you know, we got a message for you. That message is known as the Hopi 10. And you can just Google search the Hopi 10, T-E-N. And they basically gave, they're asking everybody, you know, 10 questions like, you know, what are your, are you in right relationship, you know, with others, with the earth? You know, where is your water? Do you know your garden? And other questions. So here, you know, with the with things going south as fast as they can in the economy, I've switched from warning people to, you know, I basically thought I had kind of buried my feather about a year ago, and until I got involved with Chief Joe Sitting Owl with the Central Band of Cherokee. And recently we put up a website at AmericanIndianTeaParty.com because the Cherokee Nation's been spending about $1 million a year trying to suppress the information and the artifacts the Central Band has in Lawrenceburg, Tennessee. And then you guys called. But that's, you know, kind of the way things go. You know, when you're young and you're trying to get pregnant, when you quit trying is when things start happening. So, I'm building, you know, a big garden. Not just enough to feed my wife and I, but, you know, a couple more people. I mean, you can only do what you can do, but I do recommend you people look into square foot gardening because you can, you know, you can get the same a harvest out of, 20% of the space and a lot less water. But I recommend people get involved with, get involved with a sweat lodge someplace and getting in right relationship and with the Earth Mother and start gardening and learning how. The most important thing, at some point I came to realize after trying to make physical preparations and dragging them all over the country, was that, you know, you can't prepare for every possible scenario, and there's a million of them out there. And I've been doing the physical preparation stuff since 1981. And so at some point, you know, I came to realize, you know, in reading scripture, and I believe there's a story in the Book of Mormon about a people that were living under tyranny, and they were told to go to a certain place and hide, you know, by an angel. And so basically, you know, people like me and Red Elk and other people are teaching, look, don't depend on some priest or some minister or whatever. You've got to have a direct relationship with your Creator. It sounds easy, but, you know, Red Elk has taught, he told me he's taught 10,000 people how to do it, and maybe four or five have come back and actually said that they've actually made contact with Creator. It's a lot easier than it sounds, but yeah. It just involves, when you're praying at night or whenever you're praying, you just need to get quiet, stay awake, and just start listening at the musings that come into your mind and make note of them, write them down, write your dreams down, you know, start to, because, you know, particularly the Torah will tell you that your dreams are actually in a language that can be decoded. The story of Joseph in Egypt is very important, how the world was literally saved from destruction because people started making preparations for 7 years of famine. So just start paying attention, get a direct connection with the Creator. The big problem, the leap that people need to make is, number one, it can be done because, you know, up until 1998, anybody who said they heard voices was thought to be schizophrenic. But with the new diagnostic and statistical manual 4 recognizes that, you know, people in certain cultures, it's natural for them to hear voices, and people in the psychology profession are looking at that differently. And but, you know, it's our right to have a direct relationship with the Creator. I don't think people are going to get through what's going to be happening unless they do, because unless you've got that inner voice to guide you, and it takes, you know, there's that story in the Bible of the 10 virgins, and you know, 5 were wise and 5 were unwise, and it takes a while to gather the oil. And
I have oil in my lamp, baby.
Yeah, you know, I call it a spiritual technology.
That's right.
It's really not anything different from having a ham radio. It's just becoming aware, and number one, recognizing it can be done.
Do you believe that the world, I mean, we're so distracted, and it's purposeful. I believe that the calamities and distractions and drama and, you know, all this stuff, and I don't mean, you know, like little things in our life day to day. I'm talking big world things. I almost believe are orchestrated to keep us distracted from where we need to be.
Absolutely. Brigham Young commented, he says once the curse is lifted from the earth, you know, there won't be any more thorns and thistles. We'll only have to work 3 hours a day to make a living. And all the rest of the time we can use for intellectual pursuits. You know, if there is a devil, he certainly wants to, number one, mystify everything he possibly can.
Right.
And
everything looks better than what you're supposed to be doing.
Exactly. And, yeah, exactly. And to keep us in the dark, feed us you know, like mushrooms, you know, feed us BS, keep us in the dark, and which is, you know, what the government's doing right now. But
exactly.
But yeah, I'm concerned about what I read. I'm not a person that runs off half cocked, you know, whenever I read certain things. But you know, I am concerned about common L-amine.
Right.
Nibiru and these other ideas, because you know, the elders say, you know, these kind of things are going to happen, and but it does take some study, and that's one of the reasons why I put my books together, so people get an idea of the tapestry that goes through. It doesn't matter whether you're, you know, looking at the Bible or the Book of Mormon or indigenous cultures. You know, they all talk about the 3 days of darkness.
Right.
About the rotation of the earth changing. It takes a little bit of study to convince yourself of what our history is, so we don't repeat it.
Exactly. Well, can I ask you about the native spirits and what they believe happened in the afterlife?
Well, there's a lot of different, you know, native religions, but basically most of them.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Folks, the scriptures say, "My people perish for lack of knowledge." We live in a world that's becoming more and more dangerous as time goes by. Millions of people are aware of this fact now and are actively preparing. Back in 2004, the folks here at Prophecy Keepers Foundation foresaw this situation and began preparing information for you. Friends, I seriously suggest that you head over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look at the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library. The Prophecy Keepers Trilogy is a 1,000-page intelligence briefing. The trilogy is a sum total of many years of collecting, collating, analyzing, and comparing prophecies from all over the planet. Before he passed away in 1985, Mad Bear Anderson predicted that someone would do exactly what we have done. Mad Bear passed into spirit in 1985 before he could realize his dream of collecting and comparing prophecies from all over the world. He said in his biography, "Someday someone will collect all the native people's prophecies, myths, and legends and would publish them in one place so they could be compared with those of all native peoples worldwide, and then we really will have something." And friends, you'll be absolutely shocked to find out that we discovered exactly what that something was that Mad Bear wanted everyone to know. As it turns out, that certain special something that Mad Bear was searching for and the prophecies has everything to do with your physical safety and how to protect it. Now folks, there's absolutely nothing available on the planet like this collection. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files and 222 folders. You'll also receive direct access to links that will allow you to download all 145 past Prophecy Keepers interviews. Now folks, I won't kid you, Prophecy Keepers does need money to continue to operate. We had a very close call at the end of last month. We almost didn't raise the funds that we needed to stay here on Blog Talk Radio. So please head on over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look, Nation. Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
Hi, friends. This is Will Blue Otter. I have a message here from 1975 from John Wayne. It comes right out of today's headlines. So you Indian folks who are following the progressive trend in politics, you're following the people that supported slavery. You're following the people that have enslaved you ever since the Civil War. Listen to John Wayne.
You know, it's a funny thing, the Indians now. This AIM group have started something that now they're against me for some reason. But I am the only man in pictures that always gave them their human dignity. I never was in a picture. I never allowed myself at any time to do anything that would take their human dignity away from them. And that, to me, is the most important thing in a man. I have found that a certain type that calls himself a liberal, I always thought I was a liberal. I came up terribly surprised one time when I found that I was a right-wing conservative extremist. When I have listened to everybody's point of view that I ever met, and then decide how I should feel. I mean, but this so-called new liberal group, Jesus, they never listen to your point of view, and they make a decision as to what you think, and they're articulate enough and in control of enough of the press to force that image out for the average person. For some reason, maybe it's these pictures, they have not been able to do that with me. In spite of what they say, people have not taken sides that I'm a, you know, it hasn't affected my career in popularity, let's say. In spite of the fact that they've tried to make it do it. There isn't a hell of a lot that we can do to change human behavior. We keep making laws to try and change human behavior. You can't do it. I think you can accept it and feel how you would feel in that position. You're being conned into Keynesianism and socialism now. But it isn't going to stop the selfishness of human behavior. It isn't going to stop the greed. If you take $20 and give a dollar to every son of a bitch in a room, and come back a year later, one of the bastards will have most of the money. I mean, it's just human nature, and you're not gonna whip it with a lot of laws. I think when you make people conscious, as communication gets better, and you make people conscious of somebody in trouble, starving or something like that, the average person will help. But of course now they've got so damn many charities, and there's so much professionalism. You know, there's if you have a charity, you hire some professionals to work up the charity, and by the time you get the money, you get $4 for the recipient and $400 for the for the administrators. So, I mean, Christ, I think there are people who try to affect a thinking where they know more than some other son of a bitch and try to put a false impression on what human nature is. Christ sakes, we have proven that we go back to hope at the first opportunity. Just throw out a little fish and bam, they're out there ready to grab it. So we are optimistic. We have to be optimistic. Christ, what else would there be in life if you lose optimism?
I do believe, even if you go into Hasidic studies, you know, there's a reincarnation seems to be a theme that goes through all of it, including old Mormonism. Yeah, nowadays, you know, you get excommunicated, you talk about, you know, being reincarnated, but Brigham Young called it the baby resurrection.
So yeah, absolutely. It is the next life.
It seems the Celts, you know, believe that that all of this knowledge that we gain through all of our lives is our treasure, and that at some point we'll be allowed to remember all the experiences. Now, some Hasidic Jews believe that we can be actually living, that our personality can be split in as many as 11 or 12 portions, and the Torah talks about that there are 11 curtains between us and Creator, and that that each one of our base personalities could be getting experience in as many as 11 or 12 different planes. And of course, physicists now know that there are that number of dimensions. So science is just
catching up.
Attention, you'll see that science is verifying the Bible and the Torah. And but
absolutely.
As far as the afterlife, you know, it's a good question. I used to believe, you know, in a physical resurrection. That idea kind of comes from the dry bones vision in the Bible, but the Jews will tell you that probably has more to do with the return of the ten and a half tribes of northern Israel and them actually being coming back to life and coming back to the land than thought to be long dead and long gone. And so I really don't know. Joseph Smith did say that if we're going to go where Creator is, that we're going to have to be in some kind of a body that will withstand temperatures similar to that of inside a sun.
Right.
So, I believe we'll have a lot more refined bodies than we've got now.
Absolutely. Well, this went by so fast, and this is the time in the show where we open it up to our chat room and our phone lines and answering questions. But we do have the green light if we go over a little because I have a feeling we're going to get a lot of these questions. So for everybody out there listening, if you'd like to call in and ask Will Bluewater a question, he'll answer everything. And like Michael said, there's no such thing as a stupid question, and this is your opportunity to talk to this fascinating man. So our number is 888-919-2355. Or you can put it in a question form in the chat room, and we'll be picking these up and sending these off. That last brilliant question was from Jamie, by the way, about the elders or the spirits.
Well, hi, Jamie. Yeah, I'm glad I can ask that for you. Yeah, I interviewed Ed McGaugh a couple times, and MCGAA. He's written 5 books on the code of spirituality. And we've touched on that a time or two in those interviews, and all those interviews are at prophecykeepers.com. So, but yeah, that seems to be the idea that you know, we live on. You know, we live forever, and we go through. You know, we'll take on a body and use it for a while and throw it away and get another one and come back. And you know, the problem I see, and I just got into it, got into an argument with the folks on the Mary Summer Rain Yahoo group. I told them, I said, look, somebody had said, well, one of the elders said Mary Summer Rain was nuts. And I said, well, you know, I don't think anybody said Mary Summer Rain was nuts. It's just there's people you can run into out there that they claim, well, I was this person or I was that person. And, you know, even the Dalai Lama has said, look, you know, we need to stop looking at past lives so much and just live this one, because that life was that life. We came to learn some lesson. And I think people get stuck in the past, and they get overly fascinated with, and of course there's all kinds of people out there that are willing to take your money to tell you about your past lives and all this other kind of thing. And I believe people can be a little bit over fascinated.